Today is Saturday, November 2nd. Good afternoon for WRCO News. I'm Caitlin O'Connell. A jail altercation last weekend has led to two people being arrested. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the arrests were made following an altercation that occurred in the county jail last Saturday night in the city of Viroqua. At approximately 8:30, correctional officers were alerted and immediately responded to a sudden physical assault in one of the dormitory-style cells. Correctional staff separated everyone involved to ensure scene safety and rendered aid to the victim, a sentenced inmate. The victim was transported to Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua by Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. The victim was released from the hospital shortly after midnight and returned to jail. As a result of the investigation by the sheriff's office, two sentenced inmates, Zachary James Blackwood, 21 of South Wayne, and Demandre Andrew Tyshawn Frazier, 28 of La Crosse, were both formally arrested late Thursday morning. Bail hearings for both Blackwood and Frazier will be scheduled in Vernon County Circuit Court. Battery by prisoner in the state of Wisconsin is a Class H felony. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump hosted dueling rallies within miles of each other in a fevered final push for votes in swing state Wisconsin's largest city yesterday. Milwaukee is home to the most Democratic votes in Wisconsin, but its conservative suburbs are where most Republicans live and are a critical area for Trump as he tries to reclaim the state. He narrowly won in 2016, but lost in 2020. Trump was in downtown Milwaukee, while Harris was in a nearby suburb. The rallies Friday may be the candidates' last appearances in battleground Wisconsin before Election Day. Megan Wolf, administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission and chief elections official for the state of Wisconsin, held a press conference online Friday afternoon. She stated that Wisconsin is the most decentralized in the country for elections, with 1,922 local election officials.
Where most other states run elections at the county level, in Wisconsin, it's the municipal clerk in each city, town, and village who registers voters, issues ballots, maintains the voter rolls, and trains poll workers. County clerks also play an important role in assisting with clerk training, printing ballots, and posting unofficial election night results.
Unlike some 40 other states that have a Secretary of State to oversee elections, usually an elected official themselves, Wisconsin has a bipartisan commission.
In Wisconsin, the state's elections are overseen by a six-member bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission. The commission has three Republican commissioners and three Democratic commissioners who are appointed by legislative leadership of the two major parties. And I and the staff of the Wisconsin Elections Commission are required to be nonpartisan.
Numbers for absentee voting as of Friday morning were 645,190 mail-in absentee ballots requested, with 537,645 returned so far, and 801,083 absentee ballots have been returned by voters. This is a 48% increase in absentee voting over 2022 numbers so far this election. Megan Wolf added that there has been a lot of inaccurate information floating around about non-citizens voting in the state.
Let me be clear, under no circumstances are non-citizens allowed to vote in the state of Wisconsin, ever. In order to vote in Wisconsin, voters must certify on their voter registration form that they are a U.S. citizen. Further, most Wisconsinites present a photo ID to vote, and that can include something like a Wisconsin driver license or a D card, a U.S. passport, a military ID, a certificate of naturalization, documents that require the voter to provide legal status documentation to the government entity who issues them.
The general election will be held on Tuesday. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Over one quarter of Wisconsin schools are seeking a referendum this fall. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
On Tuesday, Wisconsin voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers for operations and facilities projects. State Superintendent Jill Underle says the number of referendums is proof that public education is underfunded in Wisconsin.
School districts are telling us that they need more resources. Most public school districts have gone, are going, or will be forced to go to referendum just to make ends meet.
Underle has already announced DPI budget requests for next year, calling for over $300 million in youth mental health services, a free meals program for students, and an initiative to recruit and retain educators.
The DPI's next biennial budget request will again ask that we fully fund mental health aid for our students.
Just this year, school districts have asked 243 referendum questions for a total of nearly $6 billion in additional funding from local taxpayers. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Locally, the Ithaca School District is asking voters to approve an operational referendum in the amount of $1.3 million each year for its duration of 4 years. As its name implies, revenue received via an operational referendum is used to meet the costs associated with operating the district, which may include attract and retain qualified teachers, Chromebooks for one-on-one instruction, access points to provide a reliable internet connection school-wide, additional safety operations, and a school bus with the intention of returning to a biannual purchase rotation to minimize repair costs. In addition, the Baraboo School District is seeking $85.7 million. The Iowa Grand School District is seeking $1.2 million. The Lafarge School District is seeking $900,000. The Wisconsin Dells District is seeking $4.5 million. And the Reedsburg District has two referendum questions totaling $30 million. This day and age, many of us do our banking, pay our bills, or do other activities online that requires personal information. To have quick access to that information, it is usually stored on personal computers and mobile devices. When this is done, it is important to take steps to make sure you have good data protection, including an important step. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Secure your Wi-Fi. Your wireless network is the gateway to all the Wi-Fi-enabled devices in your home. So to protect your connected devices, replace the default Wi-Fi network password and router admin password with a strong password. Keep your router up to date by visiting the manufacturer's website to see that there isn't a newer version of the software available for download and see if you can set up auto updates for your router. But keep that Wi-Fi secure by having that password and only use it for your devices. Don't just hand it out to anybody who's visiting your household. And if you do, change the password if they're not somebody that you can, you know, really confidently trust.
When computers and mobile devices are not being used, at home or on the go, it is a wise idea to secure them.
Set your computer and phone to lock when you're not using them. Doing this in combination with having the device password protected prevents unauthorized access to your device if you step away from it or lose it. And losing a phone or laptop can be incredibly stressful, but it is even more stressful if it falls in the wrong hands and you have a password manager that has all your passwords, or you keep that personal information on your device, such as a credit card in your iPhone or your smartphone wallet there. So you want to be very cautious and be sure that your phone is set to lock when you're not using it.
Michelle Reinen also suggests backing up personal information in case it disappears from your computer device.
If your device is infected, stolen, hacked, lost, damaged, you know, whatever one it might be, you might lose most of the data on it unless you've backed it up. And you can back it up and should do so regularly, either manually or by setting it to auto backup. And two of the most popular backup methods are cloud storage or an external storage device that you may own and place in a secure location. But you have options there, and you just want to be sure that you are creating those backup copies of your information to protect that digital privacy.
If you suspect your information has been stolen or if you are a victim of a scam, you can contact DECAB's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email, or you can visit their website at datcp.wi.gov. As temperatures cool, it's time for fall home maintenance. Brittany Merlot explains what we need to do.
And the weather is changing. That means it's time for fall home maintenance. The Better Business Bureau is reminding us of important tips to prepare your home before winter weather arrives, like clean your gutters, inspect your roof, test your smoke and carbon dioxide detectors, check your windows and doors for air leaking, and organize your garage and store patio furniture and other outdoor items inside. You can visit BBB.org for more home maintenance tips.
As the temperatures have begun to drop, it is important to remember to set our clocks back 1 hour tomorrow morning. Daylight saving time will come to an end at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning as we return to standard time. With the end of daylight saving time, sunrise will be at 6:41 with sunset at 4:49. The best practice for many is to turn clocks back tonight before going to bed. It is also a good time to replace your batteries in your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. If you have an emergency kit at home, this weekend is also a great time to check for expired products or items that may have been borrowed or other purposes and need to be replaced. Pay attention in particular to the expiration dates on batteries, first aid supplies, and food. Again, don't forget to set your clocks back tomorrow morning as daylight saving time officially ends at 2 a.m. A celebration will be held today until 2 o'clock to observe the 55th anniversary of the Brewer Public Library in Richland Center. During the event, a free will donation chili lunch will be served until 1 o'clock this afternoon or until gone. A book sale room will be open and there will also be live music with Monty Berger. You can also pick up a copy of Borgia Rose, The Poisoning of the Richland County, written by local author Katie Albaugh. The community read of the free novel will be held later in February. During the celebration, you will meet with staff members, learn about various programs at the library, and ask any questions you may have. The Friends of the Brewer Public Library and the Brewer Public Library invites everyone to the library's 55th anniversary open house today, going on until 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Brewer Public Library is located at 325 North Central Avenue in Richland Center. You can find more information about the event and the library at their website at richlandcenter.wi.gov/library.